Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Got pretty fired up the last hour. Just the Pentagon openly said we're going to use fads to tell the young people it's cool to take microchips, and they will. We'll also make our security people take them. That's another facet. And give people insurance discounts, connectivity, security. And now those exact things in the media. Ooh, the new trendy group of kids. The parents don't like it, but they're ultimately stylish. They take tracker chips. Nobody's going to tell them what to do.
Yeah, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I make my parents mad. I go get a microchip, and the Pentagon literally is running the operation! Ah! I'm sick of it! Now, that's how you're supposed to respond to this insanity.
I'm screaming. I'm going to be hoarse all weekend. I'm just so angry. Ooh, I'm angry. Oh, I'm just sick of it. Again, people go to football games and they act just like I'm acting over some stupid football game, and people consider that to be normal. Oh, look, he's a real fan. But I do it because the government openly is setting up a control grid to kill us. In government documents, we've done 100 shows, are all posted, saying they want to reduce 85 to 95% of us, just one-child policies, forced abortion, all of it. China's the model. And I'm not supposed to get upset about it. Oh, no. They tell all the political consultants, tell everybody, just be passive, be friendly, ask nice. That's how you get things done. Baloney. That's not how you get things done. You get things done by being obnoxious, by being aggressive, by being dynamic, by being in their face. We're not going to sit here and take it. These predators think we're going to lay down. They think we're going to take it. We are not going to take it. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm angry. I'm alive. I'm an American. I'm red-blooded. Our history is better than that. Your history is better than that. We're one of the only countries in history to throw off the globalists, to throw off the bankers, to throw off the European elite. And they've got us back in their clutches, man. They're doing some bad stuff to us with PR written up by people, you know, with 190 IQs, with heads of the size of, you know, a wheelbarrow. It's time to start getting angry. I'm going to say heads the size of a barrel. Blind China activists under house arrest since September. Our media always picks up on the story of, oh, that they put them in house arrest, kind of always whitewashing it. I mean, I have to read stuff in their own press where they're like having sports stadium executions of political dissidents, but that's never in our news. It's just in the Chinese news. Oh, yeah, they don't hide it, but our media knows not to give us the full extent. A blind activist in China and his family have been placed under house arrest for 4 months, and then, of course, they don't get food, and they starve. And he was beaten by thugs when he tried to venture out after exposing forced abortions in his home province on the East Coast. Club-wielding goons, believed to be hired by local authorities, have been posted outside Qin Guangqing's one-story brick home in Dongshu, a farming village in Shandong province, on September 6th to prevent him and his wife, 71-year-old mother, from leaving. And see, then they're meant to starve to death inside. I mean, just type in, for some reason, if you type in Chinese execution, for some reason, that I was Google searching that. You can get the public execution photos if you want to go see it, folks. It's sports stadiums cheering like it was the UT football game. I'm sure it'll be like that here soon, too. They're warping us so bad. And it just shows dead babies on the street. Just little rotten dead babies, people just walking past them. I'm living in hell here. China is lawless, the 34-year-old activist told Reuters by telephone. They're worried I will expose more of their crimes. Some reason they haven't killed him yet. Probably will. He'll be injected into some woman's lips. He'll be melted down into collagen before you can say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Do President Hu Jintao and Premier Wen Jiabu know if they know? Why have they not done anything? Forced abortion's the national policy. My goodness. They get top dollar for those dead babies over here for medical experiments. That's mainstream news. I don't know what the State Department says that they're selling their body parts. Then the other State Department website says that it's an urban legend. We'll be right back with our next guest.
What really happened September 11th, and who stands to gain? Alex Jones here, America. We answer these vital questions and much, much more in my newest and most explosive documentary yet, 911, The Road to Tyranny. In 2 hours and 24 minutes, we point a searing light of truth on the history of problem reaction solution. Brace yourselves as the New World Order program for world domination is blown wide open. A nightmarish post-September 11th world where the military and the police are merged. Witnesses populations beg for national ID cards and, yes, even implantable microchips. Troops on the streets, foreign NATO aircraft in the skies. Psychotic UN population control plans and much, much more. This is one film you cannot afford to miss. Order 911, The Road to Tyranny today. Call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 1-888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. You see, Big Brother's afraid of this documentary. Order today and spread the word. America's future depends on the truth getting out.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. You know that Berkey water filters have become the standard of excellence by which all other water filtration systems are measured. The Berkey Light gives you the freshest, cleanest water possible from the world's most revolutionary water filtration system. The self-sterilizing black Berkey elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, volatile organic chemicals, trihalomethanes, radon 222, and much, much more. Its rechargeable 8-lamp bright white LED lighting system provides the ideal source of emergency light. The lights can run all night on a single charge, and it is bright enough to read by. This provides a relaxing and ambient nightlight and allows for optimum use during emergency conditions. The Berkey Light's revolutionary transparent design takes the guesswork out of refilling because you can see the water level at all times. Get the Berkey Light, the standard of excellence, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardivite? Cardivite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardivite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for GCN listeners, you'll get a 4-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cardivite. Call toll-free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cardivite.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Michael Scheuer is our guest, and the book is Imperial Hubertist. He is one of the, I guess, leading experts on Osama bin Laden, the press tells us. He's written the book Imperial Hubris. I just like that name because we do have Imperial Hubris in this country. And so Michael joins us now. Michael, tell us just in a nutshell. First off, thanks for joining us.
But, thank you for having me.
You bet. Just thumbnail sketch. Tell us about yourself and your background.
Well, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I was fortunate enough to be hired by the Central Intelligence Agency in 1982. I worked there for almost 23 years when I resigned about a year ago.
Were you recruited out of the college?
No, sir. I worked, I had been out of college for a while, and in Buffalo at that time you couldn't find a job, so I was working as a crane operator for Union Carbide.
Oh, that's how it works in these economies. Can't get a job, so you get one in the intelligence agency.
Well, I was a crane operator for Union Carbide, and I just happened to apply for CIA, and it was the luckiest thing I ever did.
Well, I mean, it's just funny because, I mean, you're obviously a very intelligent and interesting person with a lot of education, but I was talking last hour how with this new economy, that's pretty much be the only jobs we're going to be able to have now is a Homeland Security. Have you seen how many colleges are like acting like Homeland Security is going to be our new industry?
Well, that's certainly the case, sir, and there's a big demand for that kind of business, and I'm not quite sure they know what kind of business they're in yet.
Oh, I bet somebody up there does. And those guys that draw those maps, boy, I think I've seen a few of them. It's pretty interesting looking. But, sir, I'll shut up. Again, so you're a crane operator out of college, but you're—I mean, there's no real job for somebody with your skills. Did they approach you, or did you approach them?
No, I approached them. They advertised in the American Historical Association bulletin. And I just was working on the third shift in Buffalo, and it was very cold, and I decided to apply for it, and I got the job. And I worked there until 2004. I spent the last 18 years of that period working in the Directorate of Operations, which conducts operations overseas. And for the last 10 years, I worked exclusively on Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and generally Sunni terrorist groups around the world.
And so you were, they're saying you were like a chief analyst, really one of the go-to guys. Like if I was, say, Secretary of State and I wanted to know about bin Laden and what he eats for breakfast, I'd go, toot, 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 and call you.
Well, that was part of my job, but primarily, sir, I was responsible for running operations to try to capture or kill bin Laden from the Washington end of things.
So who was, were you liaisoning with anybody in particular there in Afghanistan?
Well, we didn't have a presence in Afghanistan when I was there, sir, until after 9/11. We primarily worked through our officers and our facilities in Pakistan and other countries in the region.
You know, that's an interesting question. I've seen different numbers. They say five times as much opium now or seven times. Since the liberation, have you seen those numbers? Is it five or seven? Because the news keeps saying different things. Is it five times as much or seven times as much?
I haven't seen the latter number, sir. I have seen the former. That's a huge increase. I'm not exactly sure how much it is, but that's their cash crop, certainly, at the moment.
Yeah, and it's going into our kids' veins, isn't it?
Well, ours, and especially into Europe and Russia and Great Britain.
Wow. So basically you're this expert on bin Laden, but then you were also liaisoning with people trying to get bin Laden. Is that true where I read in the press about Bill Clinton and where Sudan and then Saudi Arabia and even Afghanistan offered to turn him over, but Bill Clinton never really responded?
To the best of my knowledge, sir, that's absolutely incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
No one was willing to turn bin Laden over to us. He's a hero in the Islamic world. They're not going to give him to us. But we did give President Clinton 8 to 10 chances to either kill or capture bin Laden, and they refused to do it on any of those occasions.
So really, so even Sudan didn't hand over a bunch of files and offer to help get him?
As far as I know, sir, that's an urban legend.
Urban legend.
Yes, sir.
That's a good phrase to use. Okay. Is it an urban legend that bin Laden's code name when he did some work for the CIA in the 80s and the Mujahideen was Tim Osmond?
No. The one thing I'm very sure of, sir, is because when I started the operation to capture bin Laden, we did a complete record search. We never were in contact with bin Laden. He didn't want any part of us. And
are you in connection to all the records of the Central Intelligence Agency?
I was, sir.
So you weren't compartmentalized at all?
No.
Had maximum clearance?
Yes, sir.
And you don't think anybody just sponged anything or anything?
I'm sorry, sir?
I just read MSNBC, and we just had a CIA guy on the other day, and we were talking about how he was involved with the Mujahideen and the CIA and special forces were all over Afghanistan, and there's just no connection to bin Laden.
No, sir. Well, I think you're talking about Gary Bernstein, who has just written a very good book on another chance that we missed to capture bin Laden.
Yeah, well, if he was the head CIA guy there with the ground team, I guess he was in contact with you in 2001, 2002?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So I'm confused by what you're saying and by what he was saying.
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand what you mean, but we had no physical presence in Afghanistan because we didn't have an embassy there until after 9/11. We certainly were involved in Afghanistan, but the operations were run into that country from different countries, be it Pakistan or other countries in the region.
Tajikistan, Uzbekistan?
Yeah, the stands above in Central Asia, that's right. When Gary was there, he was there because he was the lead element of the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. And he was there to chase and try ultimately to either capture or kill bin Laden.
Now, your book, Imperial Hubris, I mean, who's imperial? Who's engaging in hubris?
Well, I think our bipartisan leaders in both parties really are really awfully full of themselves and are really leading us down the road to a disaster in terms of how we're handling the terrorist issue.
Well, why over and over again if he's cornered in Tora Bora and he's cornered in this country and that country or a predator's over him with the sights on him? Why? I mean, because I remember reading the press where the CIA would say, okay, and then, you know, well, wait for orders. Then 5 hours later, he's not in the sights anymore. I mean,
yeah.
Why did that happen? You said 10 times. Why did that just keep happening?
It happens because the political leaders in our country have begun to believe they are elected to be president of the world, sir, and rather than just to be president of America, and they don't choose to protect American citizens as their first priority. They're always more worried about what the Muslim world's going to think of us, and especially about what the Europeans are going to think of us. And so all the chances we've had to kill bin Laden or capture him have been frittered away on the basis of issues that are not directly related to the protection of the American people.
Let's talk about protection of the American people, because I want to get specifically into your book and tell folks how they can get it. I'm sure it's great. I've been sending a copy. I haven't had time to read it yet. It's lengthy. But I mean, I had Gary on 2 days ago, and you just mentioned one of your colleagues kind of leading the team there in Afghanistan, hunting bin Laden. He says a lot of the same things you're saying. I brought up Mossadegh, and just, you know, where all this comes from. And I brought up how I've actually heard Kermit Roosevelt and recording decades old brag about how he carried out terrorist attacks, blew up mosques, shot people. He's real proud of it with a nine-man team, hired a bunch of thugs, handed out thousands of handbills saying, up with Mossadegh, up with communism, blaming it on Mossadegh. And then we got the Shah, and then we got the Ayatollah Khomeini. I mean, I don't have to tell you the story. You've lived it, obviously. And so now we have this whole situation. Then I read an Israeli document from 1983, it's been in Haaretz, where they said, we want to break Iraq up into three or four pieces, and we want to actually radicalize them. We don't want good secular governments. We actually want them to be a bunch of frothing maniacs. I'm sure. So give me your comments on that, and then your, you know, this blowback, you could call it. And then I'd like to get your take, sir, on P2OG, if you know about that.
I don't know about the second thing, sir. I think, you know, every generation, every administration has its own set of policies that it wants the CIA to pursue. And whether it was Mossadegh or the war in Afghanistan or the current war in Iraq, those are pursued at the behest of the president. The CIA, I think people tend to forget that the CIA is a service organization. It's not a rogue organization.
And isn't it one of the smallest agencies?
It's a very small agency, sir, in terms of its actual operational capacity.
Why do we always hear about CIA then instead of, let's say, the NSA or Defense Intelligence?
Generally because we have a mystique, which is very useful overseas, but also because it's an agency that can't defend itself because it's designed to be a quiet, undemonstrative, unpublic agency. And so when Senator McCain wants to beat somebody up in the government, the CIA is a good place to start because they won't fight back.
Well, sir, I can give you 200 examples of declassified U.S. government admissions of our government carrying out attacks or paying others to carry out attacks, surrogates, to be blamed on right-wing, left-wing, communist enemies, Muslim enemies. And then now I hear about there's this big war on terror, and I didn't hear you deny what happened with Mossadegh because it's part of the public record. I mean, what's to say that some of these terror attacks we see today aren't somebody who's been paid by somebody who was paid by somebody who was paid by somebody at the World Bank so we can have a nice big fat police state? I want your take on that, please.
Well, I suppose it's possible. I can only tell you I never saw anything like that. I can say that it's much more difficult to defend Americans than it is to, for example, when we were trying to kill Soviets in Afghanistan, that was very easy. But trying to protect Americans is a whole different story. But I've never seen anything that would resemble a U.S. sponsorship of an attack that endangered Americans.
You've never seen, but you don't deny what Kermit Roosevelt wrote a book and gave interviews. He said he blew stuff up.
I certainly cannot say that, sir. No, I don't have a truthful intelligence officer will tell you he never knows everything.
Oh, sure, that's very diplomatic. But hold on, you're saying you're an expert on all this and you don't know about 1953?
Oh, no, I do know about it. I've read the history of it, and I accept it as true. What I'm saying is that in my personal experience over the course of 22 years, I was never involved in anything that resulted in danger to America.
I understand. I don't think you did, sir. What I'm saying is, how did we get to a point where the agency's only 6 years old, really older, it's really, you know, we all know what it is, Skull and Bones OSS. How did they do that? Go kill people and blame it on somebody.
I think it was just if you read the history of the agency, there was not much congressional oversight, sir. And it was at a time where the elite of the East Coast universities, as you said, ran the agency and they thought they were above the government.
Oh, I agree with that. Boy, that is veritas.
Well, I think that explains a great deal of the kind of swashbuckling behavior that we saw in the first decade of the agency's existence.
Swashbuckling's right. Stay with us. This is riveting, and I'll let you talk about what you want to talk about. I've grilled you enough. Imperial Hubris is the book, and it's selling quite nicely. And you can get it for $17 at Amazon.com.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Did you know that the race for the cure is over? The best kept secret in the country today is that it is now possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star Wars technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. That's 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com. Or call LaserMed at 702-953-0267 today.
Berkey water filters are the ultimate filters used worldwide for normal or hostile filtration environments to provide the most delicious, sparkling, clean water possible. The Berkey Light self-sterilizing filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, and they reduce lead, mercury, aluminum, nitrate, sulfur, odors, foul taste, and much, much more. Yet they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light has ridges to deflect water if the upper chamber is overfilled, and it can be used anywhere on a flat surface. That's because it has an elevated base. The entire system joins together to make the Berkey Light convenient to transport even while it's filtering water. Its rechargeable bright white LED lamps allow for optimum use at night or during emergency conditions. Get the Berkey Light, the ultimate filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%, your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Michael Scheuer is our guest. The book is Imperial Hubris. And we're, I guess, looking at both ends of it. The main guy who was in D.C. and also oversees some, trying to get Osama bin Laden. And then we've also talked to his counterpart who was leading the team on the ground. And so the book, I guess, gets into the 10-plus times that you guys tried to kill bin Laden, and just always magically the bureaucrats just for some reason wouldn't let you because they're just dumb. And I mean, exactly what does the book cover, sir?
Well, what I tried to address in it, and it's basically written for Americans, sir. I thought with both of my books that the information that they were being fed by the president, whether he's Republican or Democrat, has very little to do with reality. And I kind of wanted to show them that, to Americans, that the terrorist threat we face can be understood simply by looking at the Internet and by reading at the library. And my goal was to help Americans understand that we're being attacked because of what we do in the world and not because of who we are. That we're not being attacked because we have gender equality or because we have elections or civil rights. It's because we are at least perceived in the Islamic world as being anti-Islamic.
They're not attacking Canada. They're not attacking Japan.
That's right. And, you know, Bin Laden himself has said in a speech, "You Americans don't get it. If we hated freedom, we'd attack Sweden. We're attacking you because you're over here, because you're supporting, for example, the dictatorships in Saudi Arabia and Egypt. That's why we're attacking you." And that was really the goal of my book, was to say that we're in a great deal of danger if we don't begin to realize that, you know, the ephemeral things that the President Bush or President Clinton talk about as being the motivation of our enemy really have nothing to do with the danger we're in.
So, I mean, I would imagine you have suggestions for solutions in the book?
Well, I certainly think we haven't killed enough of the enemy, sir. I think, first of all, in over the course of my career, certainly the American people do not get the application of the military power that they pay for.
Well, I thought P2OG, which is a Pentagon program by Rumsfeld, actually wants to stir them up. I mean, if you go around killing people, isn't that just going to generate more resistance?
Well, certainly in some manner it will do that, sir. But I think one thing we underestimate is because our presidents and our leaders continue to say that Bin Laden and what he represents is the lunatic fringe of the Muslim world, we somehow think that there's a limited amount of animosity toward us and only a small number of people who are going to attack us. And the reality is much different than that. The reality is that by 90 or 95% at some times in Muslim countries, they hate our foreign policies and our actions.
Well, Iran doesn't have 120 countries occupied by troops. When we say our government, I mean, come on. They admit in the big policy reports that the big central banks pass around, it's not a secret, that big global financial interests just own this country and just use it as their political pawn. Now, I certainly am not saying Saudi Arabia is great. I mean, they got, you know, harems full of children kidnapped out of Europe. That's public. I mean, they're absolute scumbags. But see, our government loves them. I mean, I think that's one reason that a lot of Muslims don't like us, is they do see us supporting the Saudi leadership, which, I mean, honestly, can you think of anyone more scummy and degenerate and sickening?
No, I can't. I think they are the epitome of vileness, if you will. And I think you only can blame our government for not having done anything regarding energy policy since the embargo in 1973.
But then we get Saddam, who let 60% of the women graduating, the graduates are women, Christians are left alone, there's rock and roll music on, and so let's go have him be our buddy and have him get in a fight with Iran, and then let's tell him, yeah, go ahead and invade Kuwait, and then he does, and we call him Camel Boy on TV, and then we go grab him, and then we do, I mean, what is the policy then?
I'm not exactly sure what our foreign policy is, and I think that's one of the main problems, is that we don't have a foreign policy that at all is in mesh with the way the world works at the moment. To me, so much of it comes down to oil and our support for the Israelis. If those two things are not going to change at all, then we're going to continue to be in the position we have been over the past decade, and that's
going
to be more dead Americans.
I got to read this book, because this isn't what I really expected from this interview. I mean, a lot of what you're saying really does make sense, because, I mean, I read about the Saudis, what they admit they do, and I find it even hard to believe, and I know why their population hates them so much. I mean,
that's exactly right, sir, and you know, probably the most motivational aspect of our policy is our support for those dictatorships, whether it's in Saudi Arabia or Kuwait or Jordan or Egypt or Algeria.
Can you stay with us? Because I want to hear your insight on this and your analysis on this, sir.
Yes, sir. If you like, I can do that.
Okay, great. We'll be right back with our guest, talk more about the book, because, he's really getting down to brass tacks. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Do you desire your health and vitality to be in harmony with the rhythms of nature? Trivortex technology features subtle energy products that boost energy levels, relieve pain and stress, and much more at very affordable prices. You have the opportunity to wear vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that absorb through your skin rather than taking them orally. This is real, not science fiction. Go to trivortex.com, that is TRIVORTEX.com, to open a whole new realm of health and vitality for you and your family. This is Brian David Anderson, inventor of Trivortex technology products that assist in so many areas, such as pain relief, symptoms of menopause, losing weight, or stopping smoking. Trivortex technology is in harmony with the rhythms of nature.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
You don't love me anymore. You used to take such good care of me.
Is that my car talking to me?
Yes. You neglect me. Change my oil late most of the time. Use the cheapest gas. I'm getting sick. One of these days, I'm just gonna give up.
Wait a minute. I've got 3 more years of payments on you.
If you want me to last forever, you need to add protected engine treatment, protected transmission treatment, and especially protect a complete fuel system treatment. Protected's unique synthetic fortifiers treat the metal and the oil to reduce friction like no other.
Okay, I'll add some Protecta, but you'll have to perform.
How about faster acceleration, more horsepower, longer lasting? I'll always be there for you.
So if you want more, treat it right with Protecta by SFR. For a special offer of free shipping, go to www.sfrcorp.com or call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's www.sfrcorp.com or call 888-USE-SFR-1.
Michael Sawyer is our guest. The book Imperial Hubris. I need to read it. Because I thought this interview would just be the regular CIA interview. We've made some mistakes with the Arabs. They want to kill America. They hate freedom. But, I mean, I can debate with my guests why they wouldn't let him 10 times kill bin Laden or kill these individuals. I mean, clearly they want that threat to still be out there. Then you can debate about the nature of that threat and who's pulling the marionette's strings. I mean, it's like I was driving down the road and heard an old Megadeth song. It sounded like this radio show, the lyrics. It's just like the Pied Piper turned rats loose, just like the marionette swings to the symphony of destruction. And the whole thing is about creating threats. I mean, children's movies, Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, the Emperor's really attacking the Empire himself to expand his powers. And it's the same M.O. over and over again. And that's what P2OG states, what the Israeli documents state, it's what PNAC states, it's what Brzezinski states, it's what Operation Northwood states. We've all covered that here in great detail. But regardless, there really are some Muslim groups that really do want to go around killing people. And then they lie to us about the motivation. And I guess that's what our guest book gets into, and obviously an expert in the Middle East and Central Asia. Please continue, sir. We were talking about Saudi Arabia and Egypt and all these places. I mean, Obviously, it is predominantly about oil and control of the region, and I guess Central Asia trying to block out China from getting oil. But at the same time, our government's letting all of our industry, encouraging it to move to China. So it almost seems like that movie Syriana, obviously based on real stories, a split personality or maybe like three or four personalities. It's like a crazy person. Your take on that little rant?
Well, sure, three or four personalities, at least in a whole host of political figures that don't have much courage at all. I think that's part of it, sir. You know, it's always struck me that sooner or later it's going to occur to the American people that Muslims who are trying to get rid of the Saudi government, for example, or the Mubarak government, it is sort of ridiculous to call those people freedom haters. They're trying, I think, to get rid of governments that are, by any definition, tyrannies. And as you noted, there's 6,000 Saudi princes on the payroll of Saudi Arabia. None of the money goes to the people of Saudi Arabia. It goes to the royal family. And so I think once we begin to understand that, we'll begin to understand why America is hated by so many Muslims. And until we do that, we're just going to be listening to Mr. Bush or Mr. Clinton or Senator Kerry or Senator McCain as they kind of whine about the attack on our liberties. The only attack on our liberties goes on via the government. Our government.
So in a perfect world, what would you do to try to at least lessen the problems in the Middle East?
Yeah. There's no quick fix, as you said, sir. It's going to be a long process. But what we have is a choice between war and endless war. The one thing we have to do is to begin to find a way to wean ourselves and our allies from their dependence on oil in the Persian Gulf. If it wasn't for oil, the whole Arabian Peninsula wouldn't be worth the life of one U.S. Marine. The next thing we need to do is, and we can only do it after that begins, is to begin to stop supporting police states in the Islamic world. People don't realize that a man like Osama bin Laden spent the first 15 years of his adult life as a peaceful reformer inside of Saudi Arabia. And for 15 years they struggled to get the king to stop some of the corruption and stop some of the un-Islamic behavior they were doing. So those are a couple of things. We need to look at Israel.
Sir, you've studied this. Why don't you tell us, without getting too graphic, some of the things these princes do?
Well, certainly, you know, I think there's a common knowledge that they are good Muslims at home, but overseas they are well known for debauchery of all sorts, whether it's in the, you know, the flesh markets of Bangkok in Southeast Asia, or you know, in the gambling casinos of Europe and Monte Carlo and the other places. They are certainly among the most debauched, if you will, people in the world. And I think that's kind of that's the PG version. There's probably an X version, which is more despicable.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I've seen the mainstream reports about the huge jets landing in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's just amazing to have, to see this going on. Why does our government, Republican and Democrat, why do they love scum like that so much, but then demonize upright countries over there?
It seems to me it has to be the oil and the power of the oil industry and the durability of the oil industry over the past half century. I cannot think of another reason why apparently a good Christian man like George Bush would hold hands with the president of Saudi Arabia.
What does Israel want out of all of this? I mean, they've got a lot of different interests, but what's their main drive?
I'm kind of at a loss to know what the Israelis want anymore. I do think it's time that we began to be the great power and they began to be the minor power in the relationship between ourselves. And
Israel, so you're saying they've gotten too big for their britches?
Certainly in my view they have, sir. I think they've gotten to the point in this country where they can control the debate. You know, very few American politicians can say a negative word about Israel without being called publicly an anti-Semite.
What are there, 6.5 million people in Israel?
I think that's about right, sir. I'm not exactly sure.
So that's a small state in the United States.
It's barely a blot on the map compared to the United States, sir.
Texas is 24 million, California 30-something million. What is a country, 6 million people, And then half of them don't agree with the policy at any one time. How do you think Sharon's going to tie into all this? Sharon dying today.
I wasn't aware that he had died. I knew that he was very ill.
I think he died a few hours ago.
I tend to think, sir, that the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians is probably irreconcilable. They're going to have to live with that.
So really, isn't it just a total state of war where the government gets to tell the press they can't report? And really, isn't more of it about the Palestinian government getting to dominate their population and the Israeli government getting to dominate their population and getting military aid? And it's just kind of like a Groundhog Day movie where it's just the same thing forever?
Well, it's been Groundhog Day for 40 years. I think that should stop. I don't think it really matters to Americans in their everyday life or their national security whether the Israelis beat the Palestinians or the Palestinians beat the Israelis.
Well, obviously, nobody's going to beat Israel when they got 400 weapons on cruise missiles, submarines, and artillery.
Well, that's certainly the beginning of wisdom for American politicians to begin to say you need to stop thinking of Israel as the underdog since they're a nuclear power.
Well, I mean, what are they, the fourth biggest power?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, it's not like they've got German submarines, cruise missiles, the reports are long-range missiles.
I don't know what kind of weaponry they have, but it's certainly enough to beat any combination of the Arabs.
Well, did you hear about that Knesset member about 2 years ago that said that he didn't say it jokingly. He said, you know, we could have nuclear blackmail on Europe to pay us reparations.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it, sir. And there's certainly there's a cold-bloodedness about the Israelis that I wouldn't put anything past them.
You know, it seems like the intelligence agency people wouldn't talk like you're talking a few years ago. Ray McGovern's done it. Many others have. Are people angry in Washington, the intelligence agencies, that Israel's been blackmailing the administrations?
Oh, I think whether you call it blackmail or just a very effective covert operation inside the United States by the Israelis, I think there is a great frustration.
Is it safe to say, though, I mean, with the neocons, most of them dual citizenship, I mean, it seems like we really have been supplanted for the first time in U.S. history and actually have. I go as far as saying a semi-foreign government is now in control of the United States.
I don't know the extent to that, sir. I was never in high enough circles, but I certainly resent the fact at the most basic level that in the United States you cannot debate the issue of Israel. You know, there should be nothing too dangerous to the debate in the United States, but certainly that's one issue.
Well, that's like Colin Powell saying it's not anti-Semitic if I criticize Israel.
Well, it certainly is not.
70% of American Jews in a major Gallup poll that just came out are against the war.
Yeah.
So I guess they're anti-Semitic now.
Well, that's the problem, sir, is the major media immediately pick up on any criticism of Israel.
Hey, I get criticized because I'm not anti-Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just against what their policies are.
I don't care. From my own personal view, sir, I don't care what their policies are. I don't care what they do. It's simply that I don't think America should take any pain or any heat for what they do.
Well, it also alienates Turkey and people, doesn't it?
I don't know if it alienates Turkey. The Turks are pretty close to the Israelis, but it alienates certainly the massive percentage of the Muslim population.
Hadn't there been a shift in that? I mean, at least publicly, the Turks are having to pay lip service now and kind of getting angry at what we're doing.
Oh, in Iraq, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they're certainly upset about what we're doing in Iraq because of the Kurdish section in the north.
It's pressuring them.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. There's 100 unforeseen consequences to the Iraq invasion that are going to come home to roost.
Well, it's like somebody who's on 50 medications, and then they just keep putting us on more and more, and nobody even knows what the adverse reactions are going to be.
Well, that's exactly right. Although, to be fair, the adverse reactions of Iraq were pretty predictable. No one wanted to listen to them. And when you ask about the feeling within the intelligence community, I think it's less anger than frustration that so much of the information that we have reported over the past decade has not been used by the government or has been ignored. It's no surprise what's happening in Iraq. The government knew that before it went in.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Is I read this 83 Israeli plan, and they said we want to. I can send it to you if you want. If you haven't heard of it, they said this top general wrote it up. They said we need to have the U.S. go in, break it up in three or four regions, have a weak central government, and just secure the pipelines and have some military bases to control Iran and Syria to hold the middle of the Middle East. You know that bulwark or that fulcrum, whatever you want to call Iraq, right in the middle there. And then I predicted it here before we invaded, and now it's on NPR every day. We've got a new plan. Just break it up in four parts. And then they tell us, I mean, you know, we hear we're failing in Iraq, but really, that was the policy.
Well, you know, I hate to think that that's true, but it's certainly the reality, if not the plan. They certainly stumbled into it.
You know, I heard the CIA officer who a lot of Syriana was. Have you seen Syriana yet?
I have, yes, sir.
What was the real agent's name? Bear?
Bear.
Yeah, and then they slightly change it in the movie. But, I mean, from all my research, didn't they just take three different real stories and kind of mix them together?
As far as I can tell, sir, there was a great deal of accuracy in that movie. I don't really know that what percentage is true and what percentage is fiction.
Well, I heard Bear on NPR saying it's basically all true, but I didn't know if that was true. I mean, I knew a lot of it matched stuff I'd read about and seen, but
yeah,
you know, they
well,
changed
Bear
the names.
Would know it was based on his book and his life, so I guess he would know pretty much.
And then when he wouldn't go, he'd done everything for him, and they didn't, you know, even tortured him. He kept his mouth, and then they tried to burn him.
Yeah, the messenger is usually the one that gets killed, sir. In terms of career and future, the guy who brings the bad news or who does the dirty work is usually the person who gets bumped.
But, I mean, how has it changed from the time when presidents were actively really involved and weren't? I mean, it seems like things are getting much more arrogant and decadent. You use the proper word, hubris. I mean, it just seems like we're like Rome, just and they're fiddling while everything's burning.
Well, I think that's exactly right, sir. I think the whole problem, for example, of Osama bin Laden could have been killed in the cradle had Clinton acted in 1998 or 1999, and they didn't. And so now we have this, which is rapidly becoming a worldwide problem for the United States.
Oh, but P2OG says that's exactly what the Pentagon wants. And their little special office of plans in there is to widen it. I mean, type P2OG into a search engine. I know I'm not saying you're not informed because there's a million things I don't know. Stuff's so big, you know, you have to study your whole life to be an expert on one issue. But P2OG.
I will look at it, sir.
And they say that actually the plan is just to make the Arabs hate us and attack us. Then they get to widen the war. Then the defense contractors make more money. Then there's more terror attacks here. And then we get to be a police state. I mean, all this NSA stuff, which has been going on, all of the, I mean, sir, I've been to urban warfare training drills before 9/11 where U.S. Marines trained with role players with Americans screaming, I'm an American, please don't put me in a camp. So, I mean, were you aware of how far those programs have gone?
No, sir, I'm not cognizant of that at all.
What would you do if you saw a video that I shot, hours of it, of Hebron, Maryland, Oakland, California, South Texas, where the Marines are training to take over our cities and put us in camps?
Well, I would, you know, I I've not seen anything like that.
Did you ever hear of 29 Palms, you know, the survey? Would you?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we could play an ABC News clip of them in the suburbs in million-dollar houses, not helping people but confiscating their guns in New Orleans, first chance they got. I'm telling you, sir, it is a program to train our military to oppress us. That is an ongoing strategic training initiative.
Well, I the only thing I can reflect is that the founders wanted us to be able to be armed for exactly that reason. So I think protecting the Second Amendment becomes even more important.
So you're not going to go along with, look, a nuke goes off. Nobody knows why the government does nothing. People panic. Stock market crashes. And then suddenly they don't give cities in the surrounding area proper aid. They just stand off and let things deteriorate. Then they get to bring in mass force, set the precedent for total control, and we're in a dictatorship.
Well, certainly, you know, I don't know if there's plans or not, but a nuclear device that went off in this country would certainly involve the military in governing us to an extent never before seen. I think there's no way to avoid that. Whether they plan for that or not, I'll have to take your word on that.
Yeah, the plan is to leverage that into the end of America.
Well, certainly that's what bin Laden is aiming at, in the sense that he believes that there would be no way for America to deal with a nuclear attack, except
funny,
with the military.
Why would he want to give these corporate interests that want to totally capture us, why would he give them what they wanted, and then America will be turned into a fascist worldwide empire machine that dwarfs what it is now? Wonder why bin Laden would do what will help the internationalist.
Well, I first of all, I don't think he believes that it would. And second, he's a pretty parochial guy. He's got fish to fry at home, and what he wants is our rear ends out of his area, sir.
Oh, but his family gets rewarded despite him with getting all our big contracts.
Oh, his family is another one of the reasons we haven't killed him, is because his family is so important to the king. And we don't want to offend the king of Saudi Arabia.
I saw Bandar Bush or one of them on TV. I've got it on tape somewhere. It was like 4 years ago. They were like, don't talk too bad about bin Laden. It was like Larry King was saying bad things about him. And they had the Saudi diplomat on going, yeah, it was Bandar, going, well, he's not that bad. And we're not even allowed to say he's bad. Come on.
Yeah.
Go all the way. We know what's going on here. Come on. This is disgusting. Just go, come on, go all the way. You know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on, sir. I can tell you what I know, but I can't get into things that I don't know.
Do this. Do 5 more minutes with me. We'll plug your book, too, because I want to be fair. I want to talk to Jeff, Joe, and Nathaniel. And, guys, you're going to have to ask your questions in, like, 30 seconds so he can get his answer out after this quick 2.5-minute break we're about to have, and then we'll come right back to you. Can you do that with us?
Aye, sir.
Aye, sir. All right. Beam me up, Scotty. We'll be right back. Folks, we're not playing checkers here. We're playing chess, and it's a complex situation. But I think if you really look at it and you look at the past indicators, you can really get a picture of what's going on. And, folks, it isn't pretty. And see, I don't have the time, the energy, the funds to send everybody, like our guest, all my films, my material. But see, that's where we come in. We've been on the ground. We know what's happening. We have the other part of the equation, and it isn't pretty. We'll be right back. Stay with us. There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the documentary for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, 2 Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of 2 Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
All right, it's Michael Scheuer, book and Grill Hubris. I'm going to read it. I was earlier in the show going, we've got another one of these CIA propagandists coming on, and so much of what he's saying is true. Just from what I've confirmed, that it's scary. This is one of the more scary interviews, kind of like Ray McGovern, when he's on with us routinely, Chief Briefer for Ronald Reagan and Bush Sr. Let's just race through some calls. Jeff and Mash, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Yes. Very simple. As far as the war on terror is concerned, why don't we just simply cut off all foreign aid to all these communist and radical Muslim countries and close and shut up all these trade treaties with Mexico, South America, and Canada?
Well, if they really cared about radical Muslims, we'd be killing people. We'd be invading Sudan right now. I mean, it's just baloney. If there's resources or it's got some something strategic, it's invasion time. Let me get a comment by our guest on that.
Yeah, I think we've got ourselves wrapped around the axle on this one. We can't really cut off the we really can't do anything in the Middle East as long as we're tied to Israel and as long as we're dependent on Middle East oil. That's the bottom line. And until those two things change, more and more Americans will be killed.
Well, I mean, not to mention just the excuse of terrorism to turn America into a police state. Finish up, Jeff.
Yeah, because you see, nations don't have friends, they have interests. And you see, we funded international communism in both China and Russia. Stop trading with these communist countries.
Well, by the way, thanks for the call, Jeff. Actually, that's true. I saw the former CIA section chief on the History Channel 5 years ago say what I knew, that our government actually put Mao in. Let's go ahead and talk to, unbelievable, guy killed 60 million people. Jeff in Denver, another Jeff. Go ahead, you're on the air with our guest.
Yeah, I'll make this real quick. I got a two-part question. John T. O'Neill was deputy director of the FBI, and, of course, he was, according to several reports, was Bin Laden's major pursuer in the U.S. government, and of course he was in charge of all the worldwide terrorist investigations, the World Trade Center 93.
And it just so happened his first day at work, new head of security,
yeah,
handed over from Marvin Bush,
yeah,
went to work, and bye-bye.
Yeah, exactly. And the USS Cole, he was in charge of all the major terrorist investigations, and he resigned as deputy director because he said the Bush administration had blocked intelligence agency investigations on.
Quote,
terror.
We were going to let an attack happen to get Afghan oil.
Not only that, Alex, he said that, you know, O'Neill actually went public with these charges, and of course he became, like you said, a head of security at the World Trade Center.
We were actually setting him up for the show when 9/11 happened, okay?
Yeah, and then he further stated that the main obstacle to investigate Islamic terrorism were U.S. oil corporate interest and the role that Saudi Arabia.
I hear you. Let me get a comment from our guest. Go ahead.
I hate to disagree with your caller and yourself, but from my personal experience, John O'Neill was the single most important impediment to the capture of Osama bin Laden before his death.
Yeah, I think I heard you on another talk show saying that.
Yeah, the FBI is going to make it's got a great public relations department. It's making him into a saint and into a hero. There's going to be a movie about him. But he was a singularly unscrupulous man who did more to block attacks on Osama bin Laden than probably anybody but Richard Clark.
Boy, apropos that he died on 9/11.
There's something almost biblical about it, sir. That certainly was the reaction among the people who had worked with him. If there was any justice on 9/11, that may have been it.
Why would, you claim, why would he block different investigations?
He and most FBI people are less interested in the safety of the United States and most interested in protecting the reputation of the FBI.
Well, I'd like to have you back on sometime to prove all of that or proof it, because the FBI and the CIA, I mean, aren't you guys always attacking each other?
I have no use for the FBI, if that's the question, sir, but they're just a singularly incompetent organization. They have no computers, they have no leadership, but they have wonderful public relations. And to ensconce a person like John O'Neill as a hero when he was responsible.
Well, we got a 60-second break. Can you just, there's five more minutes because I want to hear you give us specifics on this. Stay there. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.